All right, everyone, welcome to episode 3 of the Fundamentally Sound Podcast. We survived Sunday's episode 2, which was a little intoxicated, a little hazy for both of us, filled with some tears, not happy tears. It's your guys, as always, Reese from Barstool, Ben Bruss. Ben, what's going on, man?
Nothing, man. You know, I actually went back and listened to that, and I got to like 30 seconds and heard myself speak and immediately had to turn it off.
So my buddy who filmed me when Kentucky, when Monk hit the three and then when May hit the shot, he was the one that was in the car with me. He drove me back home from the bar, and he's going, I can't wait to listen to your guys' podcast. And then like in the morning, he was like, that was the funniest 10 minutes and the most depressing 10 minutes I've ever listened to.
Yeah, so, it's a little blurry for me. And I had a lot of people tell me they enjoyed that.
Yeah,
so,
apparently.
I mean, apparently we need to be depressed more and our teams just rip our hearts out.
Apparently people like us when we're like really upset drunks.
Yeah.
So if you guys are listening, you should hear a difference. We got new
Let us know.
We're stepping up in the world. Your boys have not only new microphones, we have an agenda. I think that makes us a legit company now.
And we have potential guests that are open and welcome to coming on. I mean, look at us.
I know. So, but we do want to give thanks to everyone who has listened so far. Our numbers have been pretty good in terms of downloads, listens on SoundCloud, iTunes, everything else. We actually hit the number 39 ranking for sports and recreation on iTunes with our last episode. We want to get higher than that with this one. We want to get into the top 25. So make sure you follow, subscribe on iTunes. If you search, all you have to do is type in FUN, and we're like the fourth name that comes up. So all you do is type that in, hit subscribe, rate us. I mean, rate us 5 stars preferably, but rate us whatever you want. We prefer 5 stars. Leave a review.
I want top 10. I don't see why we can't.
Yeah, I mean,
I saw the other people on there. Like, it's just a bunch of squares that are big names.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of Barstool guys in the top 10, so we got to try to get up with our guys.
That's what I'm saying. Like, those are the ones that have character. Yep. I'm looking at the mainstream ones that, have following, and they say the same things over and over and over again.
Right. Like, we want to beat Dokic. He's a Big Ten guy. He's an Indiana guy. We want to beat him. He was a one ahead of us last time. So we want to beat guys like that. So make sure you hit subscribe. That helps us. Rate, review. That helps us huge on the back end with that stuff. So we're going to get right into it. Final Four weekend. I would say 3 of the 4 teams that are there aren't surprises. Obviously, South Carolina.
I'd agree.
Obviously, South Carolina is a surprise. We're going to start with that South Carolina Gonzaga game. It's the first game. It's at 6:09 on Saturday. The line is Gonzaga -6.5. The over under is 138.
That's pretty high for an over under.
Well, Gonzaga can get out and run. That's the thing.
I know they can,
right.
But
right. The question
just
is,
trends.
The question is, do they hit shots? But what has South Carolina done to impress you in the tournament to get to this point? Is it just the defense, or is there something else to it?
I don't know. I would just say, like, just their fearlessness. I mean, like, I would not be surprised if they go out and beat Gonzaga just because they're playing that confident. You can see it. Like, they get up in you. They're not going to back down. I don't know, though. We've talked about this. Gonzaga is like the team that finally like is breaking the threshold of, hey, it's just Gonzaga. They're in the WCC. And I've had my doubts because of that. But now I'm a believer. They have the experience. They have the transfers where they're not going to get too rattled, I don't think.
Right.
And it's an intriguing matchup. I don't know. I don't know. What are you thinking on South Carolina's ability to score with them if Gonzaga's shooting?
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. It's Gonzaga is the number one rated defense on KenPom. So everyone's talking about South Carolina's defense. Well, Gonzaga's a hell of a defensive team.
That's why I like the under.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of would lean toward the under as well, especially because you don't know what shooting's going to be like in the dome for the first time.
Dome talk.
We can talk about that later. It's true, especially the first time when it's out in Phoenix. Like, that's a weird place to play, I feel like. But what I've I've been impressed with is South Carolina's ability to score without hitting the three-point ball. Like, they're shooting, like, 31% from the three-point line.
And still winning.
Right. That, and they're, like, they're shooting worse than they did in the regular season.
Yeah. It's really not a surprise for Frank Martin. I mean, think about what he did.
Yeah, I mean, he almost made it to Kansas State. He made an Elite Eight.
Yeah. And you know, they got that old – or no, that's Oregon. South Carolina's never been there. So now we can get into the – have you been there? Is that going to play a factor? Is experience going to play a factor?
Well, here's the thing. Neither of them have been there.
That's what I'm saying. I think this is a clean slate for both of them. I don't give the a 6.5's a lot. I don't know.
A lot, like almost all the bet is on South Carolina. So public money's on South Carolina right now, which makes me want to fade it and just take Gonzaga.
No, and that's the right play. The right play is Gonzaga 6.5. It's just weird to see that big of a line with two teams that are high in KenPom's D. They both lock up like that. So for it to be 6.5 is very telling to me. I'll be debating Gonzaga under, and I think I'm probably going to do that because Oregon under has saved me all weekend. I was hot. I finally won some money instead of Venmoing my life away.
So speaking of defense, we got this question from iMac44. Gonzaga obviously played West Virginia in Sweet 16. Do you think that helps Gonzaga in their game against South Carolina? And I want to start, I think no, because Gonzaga and West Virginia are two completely, completely different defenses. Like, South Carolina is strictly half court. They don't press.
You're saying West Virginia and South Carolina's defense are different?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I undoubtedly would say yes, that helps them. So you go first. Why no?
Just because it's different. Like, South Carolina is not going to press you when West Virginia presses 100% of the time. So what Gonzaga had to do was they'd throw it over the top and then try to bring it in and break the trap that way. South Carolina is not really a trapping team. They just extend really far, and they'll hedge hard on screens and trap on the screen. But they're not going to trap you at half court. They're not going to trap you in the back court. So you're seeing two really good defensive teams, but they're different. I don't think you see, you know, the similarities are there.
They're different, but I really think though that round right there, the Sweet 16, Elite Eight rounds. Like, that's when you're most nervous, I think. I think you're most nervous and you're worried about how you're going to play. You're worried about making mistakes. And once you get past that, they've seen it all. They've seen Nathan Adrian, like I said, right, and the rest of the guys coming to steal your lunch money. They've seen that. So really, if South Carolina is just going to extend in the half court like they do and pressure you, it's a little bit easier, if you ask me, than facing West Virginia full court and then them doing it at half court.
Yeah, I think I'd rather if I'm Nigel Williams-Goss, I think I'd rather see South Carolina's defense just because it gives me a second to catch my breath bringing the ball up the court.
For sure.
Because they're not extending in the half court. They're not extending in the back court.
And like I said, this is why Gonzaga is here. Because they have guys like Nigel Williams-Ross. They got all these transfers who come in, and now they have a chance to actually, like, be competitive because they don't have the – I don't want to call Dan Dick out. Name another white guard that has been on Gonzaga. Now they have
– Blake Stepp.
Yeah. They have players now. They have guys who can handle this.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. So – and this kind of goes with the question that we were asked too from O'Kane Jake, which is, are we seeing the benefits of staying 4 years with the success Gonzaga is having this year? And the answer is, I don't think it's the benefits of staying 4 years because they made this Elite Eight 2 years ago. They made a Sweet 16 last year. They're doing a lot of it with transfers. Like they've become kind of like the transfer U, so to speak, sort of what Iowa State was with Hoiberg.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Kyle Wilcher, transfer. Jordan Matthews, transfer. Nigel Williams-Goss, transfer. Some of those big names, which are transfers from other power, you know, five or six, however you want to label it, conferences. You know, they're not just getting Jonathan Williams this year from Missouri. You know, they're not getting the transfers from Coppin State. They're getting the transfers from these big schools.
Can you explain to me why, like, that would be a good spot to transfer? Like, I feel like if I was – if I was transferring for my fifth year, I mean, I know they're going to win, but like, wouldn't you want to play somewhere where you're going to play in like all the big games, a big power conference?
Yeah, but here's the thing. They're on ESPN every night or every game. They
I'm
just late.
asleep when they're on.
Right, but they're still on. And they send players to the pros. I mean, they can point at guys and say, and few can point and say, look, I got him to the NBA. I got him drafted. So it's not like it's not like they're transferring to San Francisco.
Yeah, I guess it's a proven market over right there.
I was talking
more of like, is the campus that nice? Like,
I wish I knew. I've never been there. I've never been to the Pacific Northwest, actually. So
if somebody's listening out there, please let us know.
Right.
I hear there are nice places out there. I'm just trying to think if that campus, like, if someone steps on there, they're like, oh my gosh, I got to transfer.
But you're transferring to the other thing is what transfer restrictions. Obviously, you're not going to transfer within conference. That mm-hmm. gets blocked.
Not true.
90% of the time.
I mean, Spike, Max Biefeld, Spike Albrecht.
Right, but those are, I'm thinking not graduate transfer. Well, I guess Jordan Matthews is the graduate transfer, but I was thinking more the
traditional transfer.
The Wilchers, the Williams Goss.
What's your name for the fifth year?
The graduate transfer?
Yeah, like what do they call that? I think Bo got ripped on for calling it something after that title loss.
I've always just called it the grad transfer.
The grad transfer. No, there's a name. Whatever.
So again, let me know. Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily the fact that like Karnowski stayed 4 years, or like a Silas Melson or Josh Perkins, but rather the fact that Gonzaga is getting these big names. You know,
well, let me stop you there though. I think the nature of the question is talking about like experience in general. Not saying, hey, they were all together for 4 years, but we have guys who have been around and seen everything versus the one and done guy. I think we need to put the conversation more geared towards that.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're just getting talent though. Like, I think there's a difference between talent and experience. Like, they have what, three McDonald's All-Americans on their roster? Two for sure, in Williams Goss and Zach Collins. I mean. I get the experience talk. But
I'm asking you this because obviously you're a fan of Kentucky, and I'm a little different because of my experience. You know, at Wisconsin, when we made the run, we had a experienced team. In 2014, when we made it, I was a senior, and then we had three juniors, and then an All-American sophomore in Sam Decker.
Right.
So we made the run with experience then. But then look at what happened the next year. I was gone. They brought everyone back. And then the two freshmen became sophomores, which was Nigel Hayes and Bronson Koenig. So, I mean, just look at what that jump did for that team.
Yeah, but you can also say, look what Kentucky did, where they did it with all freshmen and then did it again with all freshmen. So, to me, I'd rather have talent.
What would you rather have?
Experience.
You'd rather have your one and done's over experience.
Yeah, give me the talent. I'd rather have the talent.
But where is that this tournament? There are no one and done's in this Final Four.
I mean, we're a buzzer beater away from that not being a story.
That's not true.
Kentucky's in the Final Four, I mean,
I hear you, but that's not the truth. It didn't happen.
But I'm saying it's an experienced.
UNC.
But what about 2 years ago when you had Duke and Kentucky in there with all one and duns, and Duke won it with one and duns?
It's an anomaly. Give me some more years.
The year Kentucky won the national championship. I mean, since the one and done with Calipari at Kentucky, they've made the Final Four 50% of the time.
Haven't been able to close the deal except that 1 year where they were unreal. I will give you that.
But it's also really hard to win the national championship.
And then the Bulls drafted Marquise Teague. What a nightmare. The Bulls are a nightmare, by the way.
Well, the Knicks are a bigger nightmare. But
are you a Knicks? I don't even know. Real quick. Run through your sports teams.
Knicks, Giants, Baltimore Orioles.
How? Explain.
So I'm all New York, from Jersey originally, family from Jersey, so that's where you get the Giants and the Knicks. Those were from birth. That's what you were.
Okay.
Moved to Pennsylvania when I was young, which Baltimore is the closest city. Like, I'm 45 minutes north of Baltimore. Dad's a Mets fan. Everyone else is Yankees fans. my dad just didn't want me to be a Yankees fan, and he said, you know, he pretty much was like, well, the Mets suck. You don't deserve this much heartbreak. You're already a Knicks fan. So the Orioles, like, I fell in love with Brady Anderson. Brady Anderson, I love you.
That was your way to find some joy in sports.
Except the Orioles just broke my heart. Like, goddamn Jeffrey Mayer reaching over and stealing the ball from Tony Tarasco to give Derek Jeter that homer. It was like, what was that, 95, 96? I would have been like 9, 10. I'm pretty sure that's the first time I swore in front of my family.
No, I mean, I get it. But I'm not going to be like, I'm a huge Blackhawks fan guy. I'm a bandwagon Blackhawks fan.
Oh, I'm a huge bandwagon Columbus Blue Jackets fan this year.
I will totally watch the playoffs. I will 100% be rooting for them to win their fourth Stanley Cup in like 8 years. Shout out to Barstool Chief. Great guy. Covers the Hawks.
Yeah. Love Chief.
And so because I don't consider myself a huge Blackhawks fan, it's really been quite depressing as a Chicago fan until these Cubs finally made the city happy. And then half the city is actually not happy because they're Southsiders. Because Cubs are more of a national team. So I feel your pain there. The Bulls are a complete joke and a nightmare.
Yeah.
The Bears, I used to be the biggest Bears fan, and it's just been so tough. And I still am. I still consider myself a huge Bears fan. And again, shout out to Jay Cutler's ass.
That was such a great picture.
All over the internet. Posed or not posed? Go.
Oh, posed.
Posed?
Actually, I don't know. I think
I said posed originally. I was like, wait.
Yeah,
Jay.
No. You know what? I think it might not be posed. I'm going to go with
does
not posed. I'm switching it. Yeah.
Yeah, does he care? So anyways, there is Reeves and Ben sports teams.
Yeah,
and
I mean, then, we had to talk about it. All right.
And then you have a relevant football team. All right, moving
on. Hey, my football team played on New Year's Day this year.
Yeah, fun. We played the most NCAA tournaments and bowl games in NCAA history. Moving on.
Kentucky's on the rise. Don't sleep on Kentucky football just yet. Oregon, Carolina. That's
go back.
What do you want to go back to?
We gotta pick outright, we gotta pick spread.
Oh, okay. I was gonna wait till the end, but we can do that. I'm going Gonzaga and I'm going under.
I don't want to be the same as you, but I kind of feel the same way.
Yeah.
I'm going Gonzaga 6.5 and under.
I'm strictly fading the public.
I'm fading the public as well. It's such an uncomfortable play. I'm already like hating it, but loving it. If that makes
sense.
Yeah,
I truly question, and it's somewhat of a lazy take, but I question, can South Carolina keep scoring enough to win games? Like they got a nice draw in the sense of they had two weak defensive teams in Duke and Marquette in the first, you know, two games where they just blew them out with offense. They had the offensive firepower that they haven't had all year. Then they kind of put the clamps down on two, you know, slightly above average teams in Baylor and Florida. So they did what they had to get there, but now they're playing the best team that they'll see.
They're seeing a combination of their first two teams they play and the second two teams they play.
Right.
It's probably
right.
A good way to put it.
Yeah.
In terms of firepower offensively and then like dominance
and the ability
defense.
Yeah. That's why I think Gonzaga is going to end up winning this. So, Gonzaga and under.
Okay, cool.
All right.
I'm with you.
Oregon UNC, that's the second game. 8:49 start approximately. Line when I wrote this up this morning was Carolina -5 with an over under of 152.
I'm giving my picks now.
Go ahead.
Michigan, thanks to Michigan, I won I was 2-0 with Oregon on the spread and then the under for the game. Then moved to the next game, Oregon under. So I was 4-0 there. I'm the guy who just rides. I ride or die with what gets me there. So I'm going Oregon and I'm going under, no matter what the public is, no matter what anything is, because Oregon has been playing pretty good defense. I know, like, and this is set up for public to be over, which makes me love the under even more now that I'm thinking about it. So riding and dying with the Ducks under.
I'm going to go Oregon and the over.
Oregon, okay. And now with this one, I think we have to talk straight up. Do you have UNC straight up?
Uh, yes, but I think as of right now, yes, but my mind will change.
I got Oregon. And I love this UNC team. UNC has been probably my favorite basketball program to watch like the last 4 years.
They've been the most complete team this year.
Minus the I don't know about that. Minus the fact that Roy kind of drives me nuts.
Yeah, I think
he's a good coach. I just don't think he's a great coach.
Right, and I caught heat for that for my rankings. The last 2 years, I've ranked Sweet 16 coaches, and this year I had him like fifth. And people are like, well, he has two national championships. Like, how do you say that? I'm like, well, I also watch him coach. Like, he makes a lot of questionable decisions.
Or doesn't make any decisions at all.
Right, right. Now, granted, I love the decision he made on Sunday of
letting him go.
Right. I mean, I didn't love it, but I loved it. Of not calling timeout. And I mean, every coach should do that. Like, you don't call timeout because, especially college, the play will fall apart at some, like, the defense will get lost at some point.
Yeah, maybe a little redemption from the Nova game last year.
Yeah, so, man, I don't know, man. Like, it's going to be a good game. It's going to be a really good game. Oregon has the capability to stick with them. Because, you know, same type of question to start this of what's done to impress you this tournament for both teams. For Oregon, it's been Jordan Bell. I mean,
100%.
He's been like heading into this. I was well on the train if he's the best defensive player in the country with everyone, you know, everyone else. But
did you watch the interview after the game?
I was out at a.
Oh, you didn't hear it, probably.
Yeah,
I was just laughing. Like compared to like. Our interview is Wisconsin versus Oregon. It's just so like night and day.
Oh, I'm sure.
I couldn't follow the conversation. Like some West Coast and all that. Yeah, putting on for that. I'm like,
but
yeah.
He's been not only but defensively, they've used him offensively in these like kind of ISO post ups where they don't put him necessarily right on the block. They bring him out or up a couple steps.
So this is one of our questions, similar to one of the questions. UNC's bigs or Oregon's guards?
Yeah, and that came from Sean Bach 4. I don't know if it's necessarily Oregon's guards versus UNC bigs of who will have the bigger impact on the game. Because would you rather have Dorsey, Pritchard, Benson, and Ennis, or would you rather have Justin Jackson, Joel Berry, Nate Britt, Seventh Woods. And
Oregon's. I mean, I love Joel Berry. Joel Berry is I got kind of like a short shooting guard crush on him.
Yeah, he just hasn't looked the same of recent though. So it'll be interesting to see him against.
He said the bruising is gone on his literally reading this in bottom line. I saw it today though. Feels a lot better.
That ankle turn was nasty looking in the Kentucky game.
I was surprised that he
That wasn't the same ankle that was bothering him, which now you kind of have two bum wheels heading into the Final Four.
they got some stuff that will make that feel better, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure. Like he'll definitely get some cortisone shots and things like that. But, you know, if you ask me who has a bigger impact between Oregon's guard plays or UNC bigs, I'm going to say it's Oregon guards because you have to worry about Justin Jackson, who's a Carolina guard. Like, he's not mm-hmm. Carolina big. So, you know, the zone, you know, Oregon will throw zone at him. But when they go man, you know, they'll switch a lot. But who do they put on him? Probably Dylan Ennis. So can Ennis stick with him? Can he bother a shot? I think that's.
I don't know. Justin Jackson, to be quite honest, is streaky. Like, it definitely helps to have a good defender on him. But sometimes he can just go 0-for-5, and then when he's not flowing, they still score. It's just not the UNC that just has so much rhythm, is getting up and down, and can rattle off 10 in a minute 30. They need him to bring like that spark.
Yeah,
they need that. They need him.
But
I don't know.
I'll say Oregon's guards will have the bigger impact because those matchups I think are more important than UNC versus Oregon bigs.
Yeah, you know, I agree. And I guess we really didn't touch on Boucher being gone.
Right. So is this the game that Oregon misses Boucher? Just because Carolina, they're number one in offensive rebounding percentage. They can throw, you know, Kennedy Meeks, Isaiah Hicks, Tony Bradley out there on you.
Those guys are huge.
They are. But they also get, I mean, you can attack them. Like, you can attack
They
their
fall.
defense.
Oh, yeah,
Yeah.
they fall.
I mean, they definitely, you look at the Kentucky game, kind of reminds me of this, where the depth at the front line isn't great for Kentucky as it is right now for Oregon without Boucher. So you're playing with, you know, Bell, Brooks, and Cavell Bigby-Williams as really your three-man rotation for the bigs. I mean,
It's definitely my most intriguing matchup of the
what
weekend.
the Meeks versus, or the Bigs versus Bigs, I should
Just in
say.
general, like there's some talent in this game. There's a lot of talent in this game.
There's a lot of interesting talent too, because Brooks will bring you away. You know, Oregon likes to run that, obviously, kind of like four out offense. But
Dorsey and Joel Berry are like kind of similarly the same player.
Yeah, and Dorsey's
In
been
some
playing
aspect.
really well this tournament.
Tournament.
That's how you say. That's how you say it. But it will be interesting. So, but now here's the question that I kind of worry, because we are talking about college kids. Like, I think that kind of gets lost when we're talking about this. Like, these guys aren't professionals. They're 18 to, well, unless you're Dylan Ennis, you're 18 to 22 year olds. Dylan Ennis is 25. So you're talking about, you know, younger kid, you know, young kids.
My age.
You're young, man. Can Carolina, you know, you come from the high of beating Kentucky with that buzzer beater. Plus now you're thinking about last year's, you know, kind of the revenge of the Villanova game. Do you think that plays a role at all with them here in the Final Four?
It does a little bit, and I would just hate to see I would hate to see South Carolina win, and I'd hate to see the winner of Oregon UNC lose to South Carolina.
Yeah.
Because that's just so unjust. Like, again, I'm going back to 2014. My senior year, we lost to Kentucky in a phenomenal game. One that still haunts me, obviously. But then Kentucky lost to UConn, who had some talent. But it just didn't feel right.
Similar to South Carolina.
Exactly. And
you
then
got
the next
you
year.
You got the guy that's playing really hot, you know, Thornwell and Napier.
Yeah, and then the next year – we beat Kentucky and then lose to Duke, who again was a really, really good team, but it just didn't feel right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I would just,
at
I would
least
hate
that,
for,
at
if
least
Gonzaga,
that year,
if Gonzaga gets there and they would beat Oregon, North Carolina,
that'd be
it'd be
fine.
worth it.
Yeah.
Just like last year.
That it would be similar to also the, like when Duke beat you guys, you know, Duke, Kentucky and Wisconsin were top five teams pretty much all year. So at least you had three of the top five there. This year, I feel the same way. You know, South Carolina is the outsider looking in. I mean, in the preseason, these were three of the top 12, 14 teams in the country. So, yeah, like you said, it would feel a little unjust if – and I say that, you know, kind of
yeah.
on both sides of my mouth. But it also just shows how damn tough it is to win this thing.
It is. And this is why we watch it. This is why we love it. The best team doesn't always win.
Right. Like, think about if the NBA had this. LeBron has lost game one of the NBA Finals every year. Like
yeah,
he would never have an NBA title. And he's one of the two most talented players we've seen.
Yeah, and this is why I love it. I love it because you really got to dig deep down. The real players shine when it comes time. Like, this is why we watch it.
Right, and I said this to my cousin this week. Who's a Nova grad and obviously a Nova fan, I said, you know, the tournament, it's I hate it and I love it, and it's so dumb and so awesome. And we're both like, yeah, that makes exactly how it is, because it's win or go home. The best team wins probably, what, 15% of these things? Like, if you look at who everyone kind of thought the best team was heading into the NCAA tournament.
Well, I mean, I guess you could just look at the overall number one seeds.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So, you know, probably what. But not. And I think maybe – I wouldn't say necessarily that. I'd say the betting favorite, because Vegas kind of, I think, has a better hand than the number one overall seed.
Than the committee.
Yeah. So, I mean, it just – it doesn't happen all the time, which is why this thing's awesome, but also stupid at the same time.
Yeah.
So it's – I will agree. I will be interested to see – to see this game because of the matchups. And you know, like I said, from a fan perspective, I do hope Gonzaga wins, but obviously the South Carolina storyline's cool.
It is cool.
It would just feel weird.
It just would feel weird, and it's just not, again, it's just not right.
So
good for them, but doesn't feel right to me.
Looking at the Final Four overall, we both agree Oregon UNC is the game that we look forward to the most out of this.
How do you watch those? 8:49 Eastern. East, and this is like an early game for Eastern time. A lot of these Eastern games start at like 9:30 nowadays.
I know.
I'm looking at this. Venus Williams and Johanna Konta. It's like the best tennis game. What to watch for? 9:30 Eastern? If I lived in the East Coast, I'd be like, no.
Trust me. There's a lot of late nights for me. Like, I drink a lot of coffee from, you know, well, really football season, because when Sunday and Monday night are on. So it's really from, like, September until next week.
best time zone. I want to do a vote, but I think that'd be
time zone. We need to get rid of time zones.
No.
Yes, there's no reason.
Yeah, like the sun. There's a major reason.
Yeah, but that doesn't have a direct effect on me. Like, I'm only worried about me in this situation.
Well, that's very selfish of you.
Of course it is. I don't care about the sun.
I do, and I'm jealous of Indianapolis because they're on the edge of Eastern time zone, well, so they get the sun the longest.
That's what's nice about Cincinnati.
You too.
We're pretty similar, yeah. So it's like, you know, it's kind of funny when my fiance and I will drive. We're from the same hometown. When we drive back home, which is east, obviously, you know, it's like, oh shit, sunlight's going down a lot earlier than we expected, and it's like, oh well, we're driving.
Is Lexington Eastern?
Yep, Lexington Eastern.
Because I was just in Nashville. I know that's central.
Nashville.
I don't know.
Yep. I will be
and
in Nashville.
I'm talking about Tennessee and Kentucky, so I don't even know what the hell I'm talking about right now.
I will be in Nashville in about a month for my bachelor party.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I love Nashville. Nashville is my favorite city in America.
I mean, even in the winter?
Well, I've gone in the winter for New Year's Eve because Kentucky played a bowl game there when I was in college.
I was there last summer. Did you go to the SEC tournament? That looks like it'd be fun. I'd love to go watch the SEC tournament if there were good teams and good players, because you never know with the SEC.
Next year might be the year to go.
Yeah, and then just
–
the rest is history.
I've gone to two SEC tournaments. I went to one – remember when the tornado hit the Georgia Dome?
Mm-hmm.
I was in the Georgia Dome.
Are you kidding me?
No, I was down there. Me and two guys from college, we won Kentucky's – 3-on-3 intramural, so we were representing, like, it was the 75th anniversary of the SEC, so they had each school send their representative for a 3-on-3 tournament, so we were Kentucky's representative, so we had free tickets to everything down there. So I was in the 3-on-3 was in the morning, so we, you know, got done, went in. Kentucky was the last game that night, so we were there for the game before, and that's when the tornado hit. Then the next day, I was one of 400 people inside of Georgia Tech's gym for the Kentucky-Georgia game that Georgia won. It was an awesome and weird experience.
Yeah, I'm sure you're like, okay, I'm scared, kind of, but now that I'm at the game, I'm just locked in.
Right, and then I was
That's why we love sports, people.
And then I was at the SEC tournament the year later when it was in Tampa, because I started spring break down there, and then we went down to Fort Myers, I think, afterwards. So I've been to two. I've been to two.
I got a good one. Most important player left on each team. I think we need to go over each team.
Yep, I agree.
Each team, should we just say X factor?
No, let's just say most important.
Is it the difference between most important? Okay.
Yeah, there's a difference between best and most important.
Or X factor and most important?
Yeah. Yeah, so who's the most important player?
You're confusing me.
I think most important player means, like, you know, who can take a bigger advantage, like the most
who can, like, take over the game and make the biggest impact.
For instance, for Oregon, the most important player for me is Jordan Bell.
That's the X factor.
Fine, X factor, whatever you want to call it. X factor and best player.
Well, the most important player. We're saying the same thing. All right. Right. You got Jordan Bell in Oregon. Go.
Yeah, Jordan Bell in Oregon. For Carolina, I'm going to say Joel Berry because I want to see how healthy he is. I think his health is a major factor.
See, that's not most important player. That's X factor. I think they're different.
All right, so we'll just go X factor then. I'll say Jordan Bell, Joel Berry, PJ Dozier for South Carolina, and I will say Jordan Matthews for Gonzaga are the four X factors.
Okay. Oh, I was going to say Jordan Bell, but I want to be different. So I'm going to say Dylan Brooks. Like, why not Dylan Brooks?
He's, yeah, no, he's arguably, like
you've said, he's not been, he's been like the third, fourth best scorer on the team. If he shows up, and because he can change a game, he can change a game in the snap of a finger, and he can get hot, he can hit tough shots. If he does that, then I think.
Yeah, I completely agree with you on that.
With Jordan Bell controlling the glass and then him hitting big shots on the stretch, I think that's huge. I'm going to stick with Justin Jackson because with how streaky he is, when he's hot, this team's a whole different team. Let's see, Gonzaga. I'm going to go Karnowski.
I thought about him, but I just think the way Jordan Matthews, how – similar to like what you said about Justin Jackson, where he can shoot you into a huge lead because Matthews is a great 3-point shooter. Mm-hmm. I thought about Karnowski though, but yeah, that's a great pick.
I'm gonna go Karnowski, and then South Carolina is odd because they got guys who like average 5'5", 4.1. They have like a bunch of guys like that,
like Chris Silva,
exactly, or like I think Mike, is that his name?
Oh, it's Mike. It's actually Mike, just spelled M-A-I-K.
Oh, one of those guys. Someone who doesn't contribute on a night in, night out basis. Sure. They need someone to step up in this big a game.
Yeah,
hands down.
Chris Silva makes sense, especially to have to guard like a Karnowski or a Zach Collins, someone like that. So I agree with those. So, okay, now who's – I think we'll agree on most of these for best player left. South Carolina's obviously Sendarius Thornwell.
Yeah, let's skip over that. Gonzaga, he's the reason why they're there.
Right, Gonzaga, Nigel Williams-Goss.
Again, see, that's the most important player almost.
Sure.
Because if he doesn't show up, like sure. The X factors don't matter.
So now here's the question I want to ask you. We get asked about officiating a lot. Obviously, this guy has been in the news. It's John Higgins, the guy that ref the Kentucky-Carolina game. Which I think they talked about the McDonald's All-American game last night. It was a poorly officiated first half for both sides.
Mm-hmm.
Higgins is assigned to ref a Final Four game.
Which game does he have? Do they have?
It didn't say, just listed.
Yeah, but they just have him listed.
Do you think that's fair for him to draw a Final Four game after the public criticism from guys like Jay Williams, from Corey Alexander, from... you know, big name guys that cover the sport.
I think it's very fair. I mean, he's obviously earned the right amongst the quote unquote, I don't know how I'd say this, industry of referees. He's obviously earned the right to be there. He's been in college basketball for a long time. He's a well-known name. And this is your fault. This is your school's fault that this is even happening. So yes, I think it's very fair that he gets to go ref the Final Four.
I would
say it's the stupidest question I've ever heard.
Fair might be the wrong way to put it, but I'm just saying with all the criticism that – and because it was guys like Jay Williams who – very unbiased. Corey Alexander who just kind of kept it going last night with the McDonald's All-American games. What made me think about it? It's just because I felt like there were names left out, like a Roger Ayers I didn't see listed or a Gene Serator.
Terry Weimer.
Yeah, guys who I feel are just better refs, which this is something I'd like to see is where they kind of put out why each ref got there or the grades for each ref that made them, you know, almost like a rankings like we see for teams.
Yeah, again.
I just like transparency. I want the sport to be more.
We're already talking about this again. I mean, we need some sort of transparent referee system for everyone to understand how this works instead of someone tweeting your officials for the game and then – you know what I mean? Figure out who they are. Is there a rhyme or a reason? Is it like based off location? Is it based off – how are they doing this? Are they basing it off past history with the coaches, with the players?
Is it
who refs this game?
Grades?
There were times where like we won games because it was a call center job. It was a call center job.
Right.
Teams would come in. Refs would call it our style. And we'd end up winning like 62 to 57 because of it.
Right. It's just weird to see his name, like I said, because it's been not just Kentucky fans bitching about him, but like I said, guys on ESPN, guys that cover the sport, and it just kind of raised an eyebrow going, wow, he got this over, like I said, a Roger Ayers.
He shouldn't get a chance to go ref a game and
no, I, and that's what I'm saying. I just want the transparency of what's the grading system of who gets assigned the final four games.
Yeah, well, was he assigned this before this? Like,
that's the thing. It didn't come out until afterward. It came out on like Tuesday.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, we need to know some insight of like, are they doing this because they want to get him in a better light, so to speak, get him a chance?
Sure.
Did he ask for it? He probably didn't ask for it. They probably have some sort of system by
that. I would like to think that they would at least put him on the Gonzaga South Carolina game.
It's like they rotate these guys, though. I honestly think they take like their most experienced reps and they rotate them until they each get a chance to do Elite Eight, Sweet 16, and then next year they do Final Four. I wonder if there's some sort of pattern there.
Yeah, I mean, it's just. This is me calling for transparency. I would love it across for everything from seedings to selections to referees. I just think the sport needs
sure.
I think just the sport needs more transparency.
Everything about the NCAA is just is like that though, and I don't think that's going to change.
It's not going to change.
It could change if you get the right people in there to promote the change. But right now, I don't think it's like that.
We saw this year with the release at least of the top 16 teams in February. Like that's at least gives us a little bit of transparency.
It was a step in the right direction, but we don't know how they came to the conclusion of those 16.
No, but it, like I said, at least it gives us an idea. So you're sitting there going, okay, well.
You're like, okay, look at my record right now.
Right.
Look at my non-conference games. Look at my conference games. Look at my top 25 wins. But here's the thing. When they give transparency, then you can pick it apart. Like us Wisconsin fans did. They didn't take head-to-head into account, which to me should be the most important factor when you're seeding people.
Yeah, or at least tell me why, or like, is it the third tiebreaker? Is it the fourth tiebreaker?
Yeah, I'm excited to see them do that again because I'm really going to take a deep dive into like, so this team, go through each team, here's their top 25 wins, here's their conference wins, here's their non-conference wins, and see, you know, I'm going to create my own algorithm like Ben Palm over here and figure this out.
Yeah, like I said, I think transparency will only help the sport because it just takes away from the criticism and the questioning and not criticism from just, you know, guys like me and you. It takes away from the criticism of people who have larger voices and can truly write things and make things seem bigger than what it is or what it might be.
Yeah. So, I feel for John Higgins, though.
Yeah, no, I think, I mean, I'm the first one to admit, Kentucky fans, and what sucks is the Kentucky fans that
man, let's, real quick, TV just showed me Georgia Tech, TCU.
Yeah,
what's the spread, and am I betting it?
Oh, I didn't even look. I can't bet Dan IT. I'm betting golf.
TCU minus -4.
Fuck it. Josh Pastner's year, Georgia Tech.
Done.
Georgia
booking
Tech
it.
Money line.
No, I'm not that bold. I don't mind the juice.
No, what does suck is, you know, the Kentucky fans that did harass Higgins, like that's just a bad look for.
It's just a
the
bad
entire
look.
Fan base.
I know BBN isn't
right and
all
like,
terrible,
and
but
Myron
I was
Metcalf put it correctly.
This might
where,
be. Go ahead.
Myron Metcalf said it correctly, where it's like, listen. Kentucky fans are as crazy as Duke fans are as crazy as North Carolina fans. Every fan base has them. It just rotates who it is at the time. Those Kentucky fans that reached out to Higgins were out of line. If you're going to leave comments on the dude's Facebook, at least be creative with it.
Some people were, actually.
Yeah, no, there were.
And then there were idiots as well.
Right. So it just sucked that people still want to talk about, you know, is it, like I forget who wrote it, but someone had, you know, is the fan base hurting Calipari's program? It's like, well, no, because it's not.
It's just a bad look. And I guess I can tell my story about this. my experience with BBN. I don't know if you remember this at all. Do you?
I don't know.
So when I was in Lithuania, when Kentucky was 38-0, I was in Lithuania, and it was a long year, and I hated every second of it. So I went to the capital city where I had an American teammate, Billy Barron, who was at Canisius, who was a stud. He played in the capital city team, so I would drive there just to be able to speak English and get sanity.
Right.
So we'd go out, and I remember being at his place and feeling very no pain, very, very good. And then when Wisconsin beat Arizona, I said, call me Daxter Miles Jr., Kentucky 38-1, book it. And then I got lit up. I had like 450 replies to that tweet, and I probably had the same thing as John Higgins, and you don't see me complaining.
Did you get death threats, though?
Probably. I probably did. I probably did.
You probably also like called out for it, too, though.
Yeah, but the thing is the thing is Wisconsin won. So I was almost going to go through and reply to every single person directly, and I was like, maybe that's writing my death wish.
I'm shocked you didn't.
I wanted to, but I have class. I'm classy.
Which is a great segue to we have our first segment name, and this is something we want feedback on, is we're trying to
give us some segments.
Right, we're trying to do different segments and things like that to not so it's not just 40 minutes of us
talking. We'll even name it after you somehow.
Right. So this one is called Talking from Experience, where I have some questions for Ben.
I think we can do a better name than that.
Right, talking from experience. It's to start.
Creative minds out there, help us.
Talking from experience. And this is for me to ask questions to you. Obviously, you have experience playing in the Final Four, playing all across the country and playing for a big name program. So that's where this stems from. So I have four questions for you. Five questions for you. One's a two-part. So we'll start with this. How much of a circus is the Final Four that leads up to the game? And is it a different feel, like with the media and media days and that stuff?
Well, it's a complete circus. I mean, you're getting hauled around in golf carts. You're going from CBS to ESPN to Fox Sports to Big Ten Network or to your regional station or whatever, doing a photo shoot, doing a video shoot, doing a radio interview, doing a TV interview. It's nuts. It's absolutely nuts. But you also kind of love it.
What day do you guys get there?
Tuesday? No, I think Wednesday. I think Wednesday, practice Thursday, practice Friday, game Saturday.
You mentioned the things like the radio shoots and all that. Obviously now CBS always does some crazy promos for each team. They had that with your guys here, right?
Yeah, we did Happy to Pharrell.
Oh, that's right. How awkward is that?
So awkward. So awkward. I'm only a booze dancer. I'm a booze dancer. Sure. So I was not out there. I was like just jumping on people, like acting like I was like it's like, yeah, look at me go. I mean, I don't have rhythm like that without booze.
So what – you mentioned the week, you know, being a circus. What's the week like leading up in terms of the game preparation side and practice preparation?
For us, nothing really changed at all. And
is it full-on practice on Thursday and then shoot around Friday, or is it
– I found this interesting that Frank Martin – said that when he's in the Elite Eight, he changed things, and then they lost to Kansas State. Didn't go away from what he'd been doing all year. And we were the same way. We went 30 possessions defense, 30 possessions offense. Got to make sure we hold them under 1 point per possession on D, get over 1 point per possession on O. Shooting, free throws, stretch, out. Go to shoot around, do the shoot around routine. Have a little more fun. I mean, we kept it light.
Yeah, because shoot-around's open practice, right?
Open practice, yeah. Right. I mean, we'd have, like, a practice separate from that and then just leave the shooting aspect to that shoot-around. And it was fun. I mean, after our open practice or during, because you can't touch the balls like Nazis, like, if the clock's not running, you can't touch them.
Oh,
jeez. Like, and I'm going to get a shout-out to myself, too, before I tell the story. I mean, in high school, I could fly. And then when I got to college, it's just a different game, and you can't just do what you did in high school. I was two for four from dunks in my career. We can touch on that another podcast. But afterwards, you know, I grabbed the ball and we'd always have like the big guys stand under the hoop and throw us up there. So I gathered and Frank threw me up there and I felt like I was flying in Jerry's world.
So you mentioned you guys stayed the same. Practices stayed the same.
Stay the same.
Everything like that. Game tips off. Are your nerves the same? Are they different? If so, when does it feel like a normal game?
That's a great question. So for me, since I was a senior, I never won like a regional in high school. I'd won like AAU tournaments, but that's not anything like significant really.
Really? You never?
So I scored 50 points twice, 40 points like eight times.
You may have scored more points. But I had a better high school. I was more successful in high school from a team standpoint.
That's what I'm saying. Like I didn't have that team high school success.
Yeah, so I made a state championship really my senior year.
Nice. And I'm sure that was an unbelievable experience that you'll cherish just like I did the Final Four.
Yeah, I got my ass kicked by Lance Jeter for that play at Nebraska.
So yeah, like I really wanted this. My junior year, we had beat Michigan in the quarterfinals the year that they went to the Final Four and they were in the national championship game. Can you believe that? They were I'm going back to my 2013 year. Michigan was a 5 seed in the Big Ten tournament that made it to the national championship game. Unbelievable year in the Big Ten. They had Burke, Stauskas, Hardaway, Robinson, McGarry, LeVert off the bench.
Morgan.
Like that's six pros.
Yeah, and Morgan was a good college player.
Yeah, and they had six pros, so it was an unbelievable team. Beat them in the quarters to play Indiana, who again, Holes, Watford, Oladipo, Zeller. And then we beat them. And then we lost to Ohio State, who we beat by 25 at home. Double-double, shout out to myself in that game. And then we lost in the title game. So again, still hadn't gotten that team success. So I'm going on a little bit of a story time here. Arizona game, Elite Eight. Bo's never been to a Final Four. My senior year, like I wanted this more than anything. I wanted it more than anything. I was more nervous than I've ever been. More nervous than I've ever been in my life. I was ball reversal guy, play good D, rebound. I mean, I missed a wide open layup that, thank goodness, Josh Gosser came and tipped. I hit a three in overtime. Man, the shot felt good. I just wasn't going to force the action because my nerves were so entangled. So, Frank, I love you, and I've told him this, and he knows this, and I love him for that game. So nerves way worse in the Elite Eight game for me. Got to the Final Four, wasn't like back normal, wasn't nervous at all, because when you make the Final Four, obviously you want to win the national championship, but there's some sense of, you know, I made it moment.
It's the first game of the two-game tournament.
Yeah, like when you go to the Final Four, you make history whether you win it or not. Think about the 38-1 team.
Yeah, everyone hangs a banner for the Final Four.
Exactly. So it's still a championship. You still get a ring. You still get all the cool camaraderie. You get the media. You get the school loving. You get the school knocking down buildings, going over all over campus. And so I was not nervous. Played decent. I had a couple regrets on a couple plays. But all in all, I just played free. I played loose. And I had a decent game. And we lost on a heartbreaker.
What about and some of the younger guys? Did they mention any nerves during like the week leading up, being like, wow, this is different or anything like that?
Because
it's a little different for you. Like you said, you're a senior.
Yeah, but I still hadn't been there, neither had they. So we were all in the same boat there. But I think we believed in what we were doing and believed in the team that we were that got us there and playing our best basketball at the time. And again, all of what they learned that year played a huge effect into how good they were the next year.
Now, staying with the game aspect of the Final Four, is it officiated different from, you know, regular season or even, you know, the first couple rounds of the tournament? Is it officiated differently? Is it called tighter? Is it called looser?
I think I've hit on this before, like. And look out for this too. I want you to be cognitive of this. Is these refs are people. Like they have families and friends that are like, hey, there's John or
right.
or whoever it is. Ironically, I said John because of John Higgins.
Sure.
But they want to be a part of the TV too. Any person in that position would be.
Right.
Especially when they have power to affect the game. Not saying that's right, but anyone in the right mind would want to make a call or do their cool charge call and make them feel good about themselves. Like, they're people. Obviously, the Big Ten, you know the refs, you know how it's going to be officiated on the road, at different places, at home, et cetera. Now you got refs from Pac-12, ACC, some guys you've never seen before, so you can't be as open with them. I mean, I've sworn at refs before right. in the heat of the moment because I could, because they knew we had a relationship and we had talked before games and I asked them about the family or whatever it was. It's all part of the game.
Yeah, it's not like you lashing out randomly.
You can't do that to refs you don't know. So you just got to be a little more cognitive of that. And, there's Bo Borowski right now. I don't think he's doing the tournament. He's at the NIT.
He called the UK-UCLA Sweet 16 game.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
I'm surprised they let people there's Pat Driscoll. I mean, I guess this is a big game.
Yeah, it's NIT championship game. So it's everyone – these are probably the refs that didn't, like, grade it out high that didn't make the Final Four.
Yeah, and I recognize the guy on the bottom of the screen. He's around. Sorry, I get way off topic sometimes, but I like having the TV up there just in case something happens while we're live show.
Oh, yeah. So, all right, so you mentioned, you know, it's going to be called tighter just because they're humans. That makes sense.
Yeah.
What about the playing in the dome? We touched on it in the first episode a little bit. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Jerry World is a little different than everywhere else, but does it take a minute to get used to the floor? It was a raised floor there too, right?
Yeah, it was a raised floor. And
does it take you a minute to get used to that?
It does a little bit, but again, we played on a raised floor at Minnesota.
Yeah.
We played in big stadiums and different stadiums in the past, but you still need to get used to your surroundings. I was terrible in practice. I was terrible in shoot around. And I'm normally one who's like the Hoosiers, it's X amount of feet. I don't even know the measurements, but like it's this, 10 feet to the rim and this much for
free throw line,
3-point line. It's all the same, but it messed with my brain in practice and shoot around. But when I got in the game, I just played and I hit my first two shots. So I was like, all right, I'm good. You're fine. And they felt good. I knew both were going in when I shot them. So I was like, all right, just play.
That makes sense. I guess playing. I mean, I forgot Minnesota has that raised floor at the barn. Just because it's different. It's different.
It is different. I mean, there's so many things that are different when you go to the Final Four. But at the end of the day, I think the players just play, and it doesn't make too much of an impact.
All right. Well, that was our first real segment. We have to work on the name, but I want to do that. Every couple episodes, I think you obviously provided an insight that a lot of people don't have, and it's cool to kind of hear things like that.
Because
playing in a Final Four, people, you know, anyone who's played basketball at somewhat of a competitive level, it's something you think about.
It was a dream for sure.
Right, right, and you know, you hear coaches talk about, do you change things during the Final Four? So it's obviously talked about. It's obviously thought about from every level. That's cool. So that was our first episode with both of us having microphones.
Agenda, a segment.
Timing.
I think we did well.
I think so too. And we're dead sober, so that's also different.
I'm not gonna say it's gonna be like that every time.
No. Especially in summertime and I'm coming back from playing 18.
Exactly. And you're getting married soon.
Yeah. It's like 2 months away.
You cut out, I couldn't hear you.
Like 2 months away.
2 months away, what's the date?
June 3rd.
June 3rd?
Yeah.
Classic wedding day. Yeah. Where's it at?
It's back home in Pennsylvania. We're getting married on a golf course.
Cool.
So it's
Are you gonna just go out and play 36 like 2 days before?
I'm playing 18 the day before with like 20 friends, or well, with 20 friends and family.
Nice.
So nice. Yeah, it's
consider me jealous.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. We'll see.
Of the golf part.
What'd you say?
I said jealous of the golf part.
Yeah. Yeah. It's it's crazy. Like, just taking care of it, the wedding stuff is crazy. Anybody that's getting ready to get married, feel free to shoot me a message, because you can talk to me about what it's like, because I'm going through with it at the same time as you. We're a dual podcast here. But in all seriousness, guys, we need feedback. We want feedback. You know, we're working.
We've had good feedback, but the more the merrier.
Yeah, like, it doesn't have to be necessarily good. Like, we know we can improve on things. Don't be afraid to tell us, hey, we want to hear more of this, less of this type of stuff. That's fine. Like, we want to cater to you guys. Wish that we've gotten to a good start. Thanks to everyone who's listened. But we want to keep getting better. You know, like I said, we got to 39 on iTunes on the Sports and Recreation. We want to get to the top 25, the top 10, everything along that. We can't do that without your guys' help. So make sure you just search iTunes, Fundamentally Sound Podcast, hit subscribe, rate us, review. We'll give you guys a prize.
Yeah, we will.
We're talking right now.
We've already had some people put in reviews, yep. and that's taken into account.
And we'll be doing different prizes throughout the years, over the course of the next season. You know, we could give away tickets, we could give away shirts, things like that. So we want to help you guys. We obviously want you guys to help us. So if you do rate and review, leave your Twitter name, shoot us which one is you. We'll do a drawing or something like that here in a little bit once we get some reviews up. Again, subscribe. Tell your friends to subscribe. Tell your parents to subscribe. Tell whoever to subscribe.
Well, we're going to record, I'm sure, before that title game.
Yeah, we will be recording Sunday to get you guys ready for the title game.
Everyone's going to want to get through that Monday. That Monday is going to be a long day.
Yep. We have guests lined up potentially as early as next week with some names that you guys know. If there's certain guests that you want to hear or you think that we could get, let us know. Both of us can reach out to people and try to get some people that you'd be interested in talking to. SoundCloud, you can listen to us on there. Please follow the show at Fundamentally SD. You must follow the show to be eligible for prizes.
10-0 TCU. Yeah, no,
Georgia Tech has just turned the ball over. Nonstop.
Got him right where I want him.
Yeah, it's the NIT finals. Anything can happen. Follow Ben at Ben_Brust or just Ben Brust?
Ben Brust.
Just Ben Brust. Follow me at Barstool Reeks. Again, follow the show, Fundamentally SD. Subscribe, rate, review. You could win prizes. You must be following. That's the key. You must be following. Until then, we will be back on Sunday. Also, if you want to sponsor us, let us know. If you want to send us stuff to shout out, let us know. I can be bought. I know Ben can be bought.
There's always a price for everything.
Right. We'll be happy. So, again, guys, we appreciate the first couple episodes of you guys reaching out, helping, subscribing, all that stuff. Help us get to that next level with everything. Until then, we will be